Blog Talk Radio.
Just before we even begin, first of all, Kathy's birthday is today, so happy birthday, Kathy. And we all, including me, owe Chris of Curious Times a huge vote of thanks because she's the one that spotted that I sent out last week's address for all of you. So if it hadn't been for her, Deb and I would be sitting here wondering where the heck you were. And nobody would have the right address to get in, so Deb and I would have 2 hours of lovely conversation. So, reincarnation. a term, a philosophy that most of us have, again, thrown around. And I sent out to you as many different takes on it as I possibly could to give you an idea as to how many different philosophies there are out there. And as many different people as there are in this world, there are that many different philosophies on just exactly what reincarnation means. And for every individual that believes in it in some way, shape, or form, they are absolutely right, and that's absolutely appropriate for them. Nobody's opinion is wrong. Nobody's. Everybody's is right for them. I found it fascinating in reading through it. Of course, I knew that, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism would probably have enough material to choke a horse, and they do. But it was sort of fun to go through it and realize that the opinions on reincarnation are directly connected to the consciousness, the level of the consciousness of the times wherein they were formed. And so understanding that, it would seem to me that the philosophy of reincarnation would have to come forward in time, one would think, to present day, to a time frame where the level of the consciousness of humanity as a whole is definitely a broader concept than ever before. Certainly, we understand where fire comes from. We understand where a lot of things come from. That these people who postulated these philosophies didn't have. They didn't have the same vocabulary we have, and so reincarnation described in current times is probably different. And each of you and me and Deb and all of us have a different philosophy as far as what reincarnation is. And this is a perfect example because everybody here has an opinion on it, I would think. You know, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But most of us do have a belief of some sort as to, you know, exactly what reincarnation is, what it means to us, how we have evolved it within our own consciousness, within our own inner truth. And I found it very, very fascinating in that. I would have said that my philosophy on reincarnation was probably that of spirituality, and I found that in reading through the material that I had put together that I really more or less went along more with a theosophical approach to it than with where I thought my belief system was. So it's been pretty fascinating. In going through all of this, you know, if you go back to Buddhism and Hinduism and Jainism, I mean, their philosophies of reincarnation were, I think, profound, even down to if you were this, then you reincarnated as this, and if you were that, then you reincarnated as that. And some of these philosophies really, really kind of say that you know, depending on what you were in a past lifetime, you will become something different this lifetime. So again, whatever you believe is Platonism and transmigration was something else that I kind of really kind of went along with, and that's Pythagoras, and you know, that's his philosophy about it. And his philosophy made a great deal of sense to me too, in that the theory behind it was that it was kind of like it was three-sided, and we have from past experience of our immortal soul, the soul once separated from the body spends an interminable time of in what he called form land, spiritualists call summer land, everybody has a different word, and then assumes another body. Therefore, according to Plato and Pythagoras, we need only recall our buried memories to manifest innate knowledge. Now, the thing that is really going to sort of kind of, I hope, spur some sort of discussion here is the theory here is, and I can only put my philosophy out there. It's my philosophy, and it doesn't have to be any of yours. But this is how I see it. And if you feel something different, please call in and share with me. I think the thing that so many people don't understand is that it is the soul that reincarnates, not the personality. So that it isn't the ego you that comes back. It's your spirit that comes back. And your spirit takes on another personality and forms and develops another ego, another, is formed by parents and all of that stuff. So your personality, the person that is sitting there at the computer now or listening from an e-book or whatever, that personality, you know, this Barbara is not going to come back. My spirit will, but my personality will not. It's a real shame because I like this personality. But you know, I may come back as a male next lifetime, and this personality probably wouldn't be too appropriate for a man. So it's a matter of understanding that it is your spirit, not your personality, not your ego, not your conscious understanding of this reality, not your distaste for certain foods or people or things like that, or your phobias and things like that. What comes back is the spirit. It takes on another body. It takes on another form. It takes on another cloak, if you will, and it grows and it gathers material and it increases its insight, its wisdom, and its knowledge. So understand that it's really hard to think of you coming back in another lifetime, but not being the you that you know now. It's the consciousness, it's the higher consciousness that comes back. You won't have the same personality. See, that's where, and that's my belief, and I'm only giving you my beliefs. It's, you know, I don't have a handbook on reincarnation that's given out by the other side. So I do believe that we as a spirit, after we have passed over, after we have completed this lifetime, we spend a time on the other side sort of letting go of the denseness that we have gathered this lifetime when we've been in corporal body, and we get lighter and lighter and lighter, become more and more and more one with the light, and then we come to a point in time, and I've been taught, though I don't know it, that it's about 100 years it takes before we decide it's time to reincarnate and go down and give it another shot. But when we sit and we ask for and we look for what are the lessons I want to learn, what you see, you don't choose your personality, you don't choose your sex, you don't choose any of those physical aspects of the person that is on the earth plane at this moment in time. You choose situations you want to be given you, and then your spirit, your soul, goes into an embryo, and you are birthed, and you are, you know, you experience the kind of lifetime that you need in order to pull to you, draw to you those kinds of situations that you need in order to facilitate the growth of the spirit that is within you. It doesn't have anything to do with your personality. Okay, JB says, if reincarnation does exist, I think that the purpose is to learn new lessons with a different personality. That's a very good point. And it may well be that we need to experience all sorts of things from different aspects, from different realities, from different focuses. And that may be why we have so many reincarnations. I don't really know. Like I said, there is, if there is a handbook, I didn't bring it with me this time. So all I can do is say that every time we reincarnate, we do have the memories of the past lifetime. We are able to draw on the wisdoms that have been gathered in all of those past lifetimes. But what we don't have is the same personality. And, you know, frankly, I know some people that it's a good thing that that personality isn't coming back because, you know, they might have done better. I mean, you kind of think sometimes when you're looking at people, my God, did they hit a fire sale? Or, you know, or you know, when they picked the personality or when that personality came to them, was it on sale? Because, you know, clearly it's damaged in some ways. And there are damaged personalities down here for sure. But maybe that's how they need to experience the reality. So I would love to hear some of the philosophies that you guys have. You have to have some input on this because everyone has thought about, I was trying to think, when did I actually understand that reincarnation existed? When did I really start to work with the concept that there is definitely, that this is only, you know, a brief drop in the pond, so to speak, that I was only here for a visit. I wasn't here for a stay. Okay, so Moon Shadow says, I'm confused at mediums that say spirits of past loved ones have come back in their grandchildren, for example. I'm confused by that as well. That does not exactly go along with my philosophy. I know there are mediums out there that say that. I have a good friend who's a medium who keeps telling me, you know, who she's coming back as, which of her grandchildren. That's not my belief system. I could be wrong, and she could be right. Kind of doubt it, but that's just me. That's my ego talking there. I have found that while there is such a thing as genetic memory, and we do reincarnate in what I would call soul groups, those soul groups are huge. They are they're thousands of people, so that you take on different aspects and different jobs and different, you know, sexes, obviously, when you come back. But I don't believe that you stay in a genetic family because your soul group is not a genetic group. It is it is a group of souls that for some reason have been together throughout all of time. And again, thousands of people in it. So you got a lot of options here. To come back as someone in your own genetic family does not make sense to me because your soul is eternal, is immortal, and has been around for millions and millions of years. And this particular family may not have been. So that coming back in your own family limits greatly the possibilities of the experiences that you need to experience. So in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, I don't believe you come back in the same genetic family. It may happen. I want to get out and mingle too, Chris. So I do believe that there is the fact that you change cultures, you change races, you change, you know, all sorts of ethnic groups, and so that would say that you, if you were Caucasian, that you would never experience life as an Asian or as an African American or as a Native. So that doesn't make sense to me because I think those are experiences that are important for us to understand and to be able to understand how they approach things, what their philosophy is towards growth and all of this other. I think you need to be a well-rounded soul, and in order to be a well-rounded soul, you have to have a vast amount of different experiences. If you were stuck in one genetic family, I don't believe that you get those options. Your soul is a universal. It's not just an earthly. And we have come from different planets. We've done different planets. We've done different dimensions. We've done different all sorts of stuff. So no, but that was a great question, and I'm really glad you asked it. I don't always understand where some of those people come from, but then, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. I just, you know, it's not something that I have I buy. And again, I could be wrong. I don't know everything. I have opinions on everything, but I don't know everything. And so it's an amazing. No wonder I have rejection. Oh, Chris, for God's sakes. But it's such an exciting adventure. It's why so many people who have near-death experiences and they kind of get close to the other side and they take a look at it and they think, oh, I got to stay here for a long time. Reality is when I have experienced talking to spirits who have been there for quite a while, I hear about them, beginning to think about coming back and what kind of lessons they want to expose themselves to. You got to understand that the personality initially is basically there so that you aren't completely and totally out of you're not totally confused. So that you have a density. You have you certainly have loved ones who are there and who help you with the transition process and as you become more and more comfortable, things like, the personality kind of drop off. You become more and more of the higher consciousness of that spirit within you. I am sure, I am positive, I am absolutely, for certain sure, absolutely positive that if your higher consciousness would do the talking, it would not have the same personality that your ego self has. So that you have that otherworldliness spirit inside of you, but you're not always, it doesn't actually talk through you because, people would probably think you were crazy. It's your personality is basically a way people know you. It's like Curious Times laugh. You'd know that laugh anywhere. You'd know it in a huge crowded room. You'd be able to find her. You'd know she was there. When some mediums or people say our loved ones are waiting for us when we pass over, where are the reincarnated ones that have, and when do we see them? People, our loved ones are waiting for us when we pass over. Where are the reincarnated ones, and when will we see them? As I said before, it takes about 100 years before you even get close to reincarnating. So chances are, your whole family, those that have passed over, will be there for you, so that none of your genetic family or friends will have probably reincarnated. The only time I know of where, and I've heard, and again, it's just in the teachings that I've received. So there are lots of other opinions on this. All of them are right. None of them are wrong. Is that when someone commits suicide often, they come immediately back. And it depends on the reasons, for suicide and stuff like that. But if someone just says, I'm taking the easy way out and I'll see you next time around, they usually are put right back in. They usually are reincarnated. They aren't given the easy out. And they come right back in into a situation similar to the one that they left. So that it's sort of like if you don't address the things that are wrong, if you choose to run away from your problems and think that committing suicide is going to make that, a possibility for you, I don't suggest you do it because you'll be put right back in. You'll have the same situations. You'll have to deal with them. You don't get to pass go, and you don't get to collect $200. You have to deal with the issues that you brought into this lifetime. So we can reincarnate on other planets too. Yeah, we can. I do believe that the Earth plane is a school of sorts, and that there are certain things here that we are meant to gather, and that our trip will go through different planets, different galaxies, different dimensions before we get to a place of, I don't know, some of them call salvation, some of them call it total enlightenment, but I think the thing that we all have to realize, basically, is that much as we would like to think we're highly evolved, all of us, the world that we live in would indicate that possibly that isn't quite the case, and that we all have a lot of growing yet to do. I'm sure that there are masters walking the earth plane now that are just taking notes or are here as a watcher or something like that, but for the most part, most of us are here to learn, to grow, to understand. You got to, you know, pay attention here to the fact that a decade ago, most of us would not have been sitting in a circle like this talking about spiritual aspects. We would be more, I don't know what we'd be focused on, but this probably wouldn't have even happened a decade or two decades ago. So that there is now a greater awareness, a greater opening of the consciousness for all of humanity. Whether you buy into it or not, you have a familiarity with it and you'll talk about it. And once that happens, that's when real growth starts. That's when real understanding starts. That's when we start to reach for and look for the spiritual aspects that are out there, the gifts and the talents that are inside of us. So many of us for so long were looking outside. I want to learn how to do this instead of I want to remember how to bring it forward in time, you know, from within me. So many of us have turned that around and are now saying, I know it's in there somewhere. I just have to figure out how to open up to it or to connect to it or to cross that bridge of understanding and bring it forth and manifest it within this reality so that there's been a great change, an amazing turnaround in the aspect of understanding what spirituality is, what reincarnation is, and what we carry within us and the fact that we are a part of the infinite. I mean, 40 years ago, for anybody to say you are a god would have been blasphemy. It still may be in some circles, actually, but you are a god. You have that spirit within you, that piece of the infinite that makes you a god. Now, do we live god-likely? It's unlikely that any of us are living a god-like existence at this moment in time, but we have the potential for it. And so I'd be working and feeling like I had a lot. Yeah, okay, Chris. Chris, get a life, get a job. But it's really part of, you know, we have to understand that we're just now coming into a time of, you know, how there were the Dark Ages and then there were the times of enlightenment and the Renaissances. I think we're in another Renaissance right at the moment. And we're beginning to understand how important it is for us to reach within, to become to allow ourselves to perceive our future and our destinies and to make things happen for ourselves instead of expecting other people to make them happen for us. Or it's important for us to stop complaining about how things are and start doing something about it, to take control, to understand. I mean, we all have had thousands and thousands of lifetimes, thousands of them. And it's been a learning process. And you know, I don't know what the age of the Earth is. I don't think anybody does, but billions and billions of years. They take our presence upon the planet. If you talk to the Jews, it was about 6,000 years ago. If you talk to archaeologists, it goes back way farther than that, probably tens of thousands of years ago, maybe millions, I don't know. But we've been around for a long time. And at this moment in time, a lot of us are having memories of and dreams of places and times that weren't of this planet, that weren't of this era. And there are a lot of people that are touching into other dimensions with their memories. And those are memories they carry within. So that we have... While we don't have total recall of all of the past lives that we've had, because that would drive us nuts. I mean, some of us would get ego boosts over the fact that someplace along the line we were probably a king or a queen, and then others would be destroyed by the fact that somewhere along that timeline of our, you know, incarnations, we were horrible and we did terrible things. And so we don't have the memory of our past lives, but we can reach for them. we can draw them forward and we can make them a part of our reality. And often I do believe that the memory of lifetimes past that we're able to grab onto have a direct relevance to this lifetime that we're now experiencing. And so it's important for us to understand that this lifetime, there are lessons that are being learned. And I think it's really important that we understand that while everybody has a spiritual calling, everybody knows that there's something spiritual that they're meant to do this lifetime, and something they're meant to learn and something they're meant to draw in, and sometimes it becomes a very heavy responsibility trying to figure out what that thing is. The reality is that we're trying to figure that out with the ego consciousness, you know, mentality. And the reality is that our cause, the thing we're here to do, may be to just very subtly, very briefly touch somebody's life and say something or do something that will change their life forever, and that's the real purpose of this lifetime. So, that which we really came here to do and experience may have nothing to do. It may not be a huge traumatic experience where there's an accident or we lose a loved one or whatever, but it may be just the simplicity of kindness and joy being passed on from one person to another, because that's of greater import. You know, trauma and how we deal with it, absolutely part of the lessons that we have to learn. I there's no doubt about that. But that may not be the real purpose of this lifetime. And we have to let go of, we have to stop trying to figure it out with our ego and feel it out with our spirit. Will you ever know what the purpose of the lifetime is? I doubt it. Much as I'd like to think that you know, everybody has a little glimpse of it. We don't any of us know for sure what that is. We just have to trust that the circumstances, the lessons, the challenges that are brought up to us are things that are meant to teach us and help us to grow. And they're not meant to punish us. They're meant to challenge us so that we grow. And while karma does come into it, sometimes it means that things will be a little more difficult to learn because of things we've done in the past, or there'll be a snap because of things we've done in the past, because karma does... It is a universal energy thing. It isn't a lifetime to life. It isn't within a singular lifetime. It does spread out over many lifetimes. So sometimes we may be paying for past stuff, and sometimes we may be getting the rewards of past stuff too, which is also cute, you know, really cool. And you know, the lessons are always going to keep coming. We're always going to be challenged. I mean, if you are able to sit and just eat bonbons by the fire for an entire lifetime, God bless. But if all you've learned is how many calories there are in a bonbon, it doesn't take you very far. I guess everyone has the option of sitting out a lifetime and just not doing anything and not growing and just existing and making it to the next lifetime. But I do believe even those people who seem to be doing nothing are actually doing something, because maybe they are here to experience what it's like to not do anything during a lifetime. So hard to judge, hard to know. But it is amazing that the concept of having lived before has been around for so very long. Of course, the Egyptians didn't believe in reincarnation as much as they believed in resurrection, because they sent the body off with everything it could possibly need for the next life. I don't know how they figured they were going to get it all to the other side, but, you know, they had a plan, I'm sure. Of course, nobody really asked the questions. Okay, so, my 100 years, so, Jen and Steve said, so I wonder what we're doing for 100 years over there, recuperating from the last lifetime. And Deb had she has a very appropriate answer. You know, there's no time over there. Time is an earth concept, but earth time wise, it's about that long. Actually, what happens is we spend time First thing we do is realize that there is life after life, that there is an aspect to our spirit that is immortal and eternal. And as we go through the, you know, checking in on everybody and then learning to remember the gifts and the talents that we have within us, the longer we spend there, the less and less dense we become, the less and less the ego is there. And by the time the ego goes away, and it takes a period of time. And then we also begin to sort of put the pieces of the purpose of this lifetime, the lessons that we learned, and how they fit into the lessons of all of the other lifetimes. And then you start to understand that you know, I've had all these experiences, and look how far I've come, and okay, where do I need to refine? Where do I need to polish and refacet some aspects? What things do I want to stretch into or expand upon? And you get to the point where you find that there are aspects that you'd like to challenge, that you'd like to stretch, that you'd like to more fully develop. And you don't do it over there because there are no lessons being thrown at you. So you have a choice to come back down here and have those experiences given to you. It's funny. I think it takes that long a period of time to come into full realization that we're not totally where we would like to be, that there are things that we'd like to grow into, you know, things that we'd like to experience that we didn't get a chance to. So we basically, I sort of, it's very irreverent, and I apologize for that, but I think there's, and this is not actually what I, it's just the easiest way to describe it to you, that when a spirit feels that it is time, and usually what happens is when the spirit, when all aspects and all parts of the remnants of this lifetime have fallen off, when we become pure energy once again, that's when we look for, okay, what more do I want to experience? And that's when we go to the reincarnation office, and we sit down with a counselor, and we say, I really feel I want to experience this, this, and this. I need to develop these aspects of my own self. I need to understand more deeply what these qualities are and how to utilize them. We don't ask to, you can't ask to, you know, I want to experience what it's like to be a millionaire. It's more, I want to learn compassion. I want to learn philanthropy. I want to have a deeper understanding of the human condition in these instances. And so when you come down and are put into the body of a baby again, your memory of the other side is basically, I want to say it's cloaked. I don't think it's erased, because we always carry those memories with us. We just don't always have access to them. So that we grow up with a blank slate that our parents and our teachers and our culture and our religions and our ethnicity and all of that add to our experiences and create a personality, and an ego develops. And at that point in time, that personality and that ego begin to experience challenges, and how that ego and that personality approach the challenges and deal with them and then grow even more. And then a time comes when the higher consciousness is able to sort of filter in information and help to make decisions. And as much as the ego allows, and, you know, sometimes there's a struggle between the two aspects of consciousness. But that's part of the lesson that the spirit asked for, so that you're given what you asked for. So many people will say, oh, I didn't sign on for this. Forget that. I never signed up. I would never have asked for that much to happen to me in one lifetime. And the reality is you did. You asked for the challenge to be able to grow in a certain aspect. And so, and we're given those conditions and we're given those situations and we are absolutely put in the position to expand and grow and gather information and learn. And it's amazing if you perceive these challenges to be, you know, hardships, then they become that. If you look at the challenges and take it on as a challenge and say, okay, how can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? And where am I going with this? Okay, so Glennis asked, so we have no choice in who we come back as, yet we are told we chose to come back and learn the lessons. So the intention behind the action, the thoughts are where we pose the questions of what the needs to be learned. Okay, so no, you do not have a choice as to who or what you come back as. You are asked for experiences and lessons. And you know, the purpose behind those lessons is to grow and to evolve and to get greater understanding so that we see, you're thinking of it as a person, and it's the spirit that asks the questions. It's the spirit. The spirit requests situations so that it can grow. And you're trying. It's hard because we have egos and we have intellect, and we're really grounded in the physical reality. It's not like you go into a store and you ask for something and you buy it. It's you request experiences, and you cannot ask for specifics. You just ask for an experience to be able to expand this quality within me, so that I can better serve all of humanity. So we choose on the other side as a spirit who has total awareness and cosmic knowledge, because we know what we need to expand into. Now, when we come into this lifetime, we have an ego and a personality, and that often makes it hard. Sometimes some of us have egos that are so strong that it's hard to let the spirit get through and manifest and share in the reality. Anne, if she call in Anne and talk about how you have had your ego self and how you had to embrace it and incorporate it into the total aspect of your character and your spirit in order to move forward. All of us have those arguments inside of us. I want this, but it's not good for you. I want it anyhow, but can you afford it right now? No, but I have a credit card. But do you need it? No, but I want it. And so you have the human physical argument with a cosmic spirit who doesn't really care. And so the spirit within you, of course, wants you to have a roof over your head, wants you to have food in your mouth, it wants you to survive. But it doesn't really care so much about if you're in a clique or if you're in a sorority or a fraternity. It doesn't matter to that spirit. You know, your social prominence, because that's of this world and that's of this lifetime, and that's an ego thing. So that our lessons come on a spirit level. They may be impacting our physical reality because they challenge us within our spiritual reality. But the lessons learned are not what we think they are. We can try to analyze them in on an intellectual level, but that's with our ego. And that's not where the lesson is. The lesson is a more cosmic, universal one. And quite often it has to do with those universal laws that I, you know, have hammered on and will continue to, by the way. So you have to understand it only really matters to the ego. What matters to the ego? No, the ego is formed by, you know, on its entrance into this lifetime, and the ego is formed by the parents, it's formed by the teachers, it's formed by the environment. It's formed by everything of a physical nature that spirit in a new body, you know, encounters. So ego is definitely of this physical reality. This is my ego for this lifetime. It will not be my ego for next lifetime. Again, I like my ego, but then all of us do. You know, it has been tailor-made for us, by our environment. But that, you know, this ego talking to you, this intellect talking to you is of this physical reality. It is not, you know, my spirit coming through and, you know, giving you great wondrous stuff. I mean, probably we could do that, but this is a discussion circle, and I notice I'm the only one discussing. But you know, call in. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear what you feel about reincarnation, and I want to hear about how you feel about it. Because if you share your philosophies, then everybody learns from everybody else, and that's an important aspect to a circle like this. Because the more we share with each other, the more we learn from each other, the more we expand upon our own philosophies. I mean, heck, it never occurred to me that I had a theosophical point of view here. And apparently I do. It's just a name, it's a label, but it's kind of easy to refer back to and say, okay, I buy into most of this. Not necessarily all, but most of it. And we all will have our own, you know, our own take on what reincarnation is. I know there are some people that say they're not coming back, but and that personality is not, so they're 100% right, but the spirit probably is. You can stay on the other side as long as you like. There is no absolute. You stay until you're ready to come back, and you come back when you're ready to come back. It's your choice. You can stay there thousands and thousands of Earth years, or, you know, you can turn around and say, wait, I wasn't done. I'm going back right now. And though it is unusual, I'm sure it does happen. The cool part of it is that there are no rules as far as that goes. And it's just, it's an amazing place to be. The spiritualists call it Summerland. Lots of people call it different things. The Norse people called it Valhalla. People have called it, well, people call it heaven. Thing is, though, according to the Christians, you go to heaven and that's where you stay. And I was trying to think of when I started to understand that we are eternal spirits, that we do come back. I don't know when it absolutely dawned on me, but I do know that there are those that talk of spiritual philosophies and don't believe in reincarnation, and that's okay. That's okay, because, you know, they'll be very surprised. They may stay longer on the other side than most, but it's a matter of understanding that when you are ready to come back into the earth plane, or back into the physical, I guess is a better way to put it, then you have the wisdom of saying, okay, I am going to, you know, work on these different aspects and try to evolve and into a spirit that really understands a little better. I don't think I don't know for sure, but in my opinion, and I want to keep saying that because I don't have all the answers. I just have opinions on everything. It seems to me that we are at a time and a place where we have a greater understanding of the total picture of everything. And if that's the case, then we have a greater understanding than here on the earth plane we could possibly ever, you know, ever encompass. So, I don't know. We'll see what Glennis has to say. Hi, Glennis.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. What's up?
I'm just wondering. I'm actually wondering, how do you recognize someone who has been reincarnated?
Everybody's been reincarnated.
So if you feel that someone that you've come across and you feel that I've met this person, there's something about them, how would you pick up that it is someone that you know that has come back? Someone that's a part of your long-distance family?
Well, first of all, in my world, none of the people that I know would have been reincarnated yet.
You know,
they're still on the other side trying to figure out what the hell happened.
The thought behind the question was, you know, sometimes people get the feeling that they've just met this person, but they feel that there's some connection there, that they've
uh-huh.
known this person before. So, you know, that was the premise of the question.
Okay. No, that's easy. They most probably are in your soul family.
Okay.
And you most probably have in other incarnations had a relationship of some sort, whether it was family or whether it was a relationship type thing. There are always going to be people. I have friends now that I'm sure I was friends with in past lifetimes, because it's so easy, it's so comfortable, it's so, you know, it's like we've known each other forever. So the soul family is huge. There are like thousands of people there, and there are clearly. If you have had, let's say you've had 10,000 lifetimes, you've probably had all sorts of experiences with a lot of them, and those that were very pleasurable are the ones that you're going to resonate to a lot more than the ones that, you know, they killed you or something like that. So, Chris mentioned that, you know, it could be a soul mate type of situation, and quite often people are pulled. You know, people are drawn to people that they've had wonderful relationships with in the past, so that there is that magnetism there, that they're putting out the same energetic, and they are drawn to each other because of that.
So from that, you can almost plan to meet up with the person again in other lifetimes.
Well, it's almost guaranteed that will happen.
Yep.
But the reality, too, is, you know, because when you go in and say, I'm ready to go back, send me back, coach, you have no way of knowing, you know, what sex you're going to be, or what race you're going to be, or where you're going to reincarnate on the planet. So you could both come back as women. You could both come back as men. You could both, you know, the options are phenomenal, so that you know, you can't say I'll see you next lifetime and you know we'll make it work that time. I mean, you can, but the reality is that you would not be put in that kind of a position.
It's like my husband said, "Crap, I wasn't your brother in another lifetime." I said, "Yes, you were." Yes, he said, you don't believe that. And I said, well, that's what I've been told. You were my brother in one other lifetime. So
mm-hmm.
The recycling.
Well,
it's interesting.
And I do believe that we are attracted on a spirit level, we are attracted to people that we've had good relationships with before, or that we've had relationships that were so tightly linked that link, it remains, and we recognize it, and we are drawn to that person. Sometimes it's fascinating. I read somebody once who ran a bordello, and this lifetime, at least five of the people that have come into her life were women that worked in the bordello, and every single one of those women that were drawn to her in this life came to her for wisdom, for knowledge, for protection. like they did in that past lifetime, and the past lifetime had to be 300 or 400 years ago.
It's amazing, isn't it? It really is amazing.
It does explain a lot of things like that. And you know, you got to understand that we don't have total awareness of what the whole process is until we get there. And, you know, once we come back, we don't have that awareness anymore.
That's it. So it's that eternal learning. You just have glimpses of what it was in the past.
Well, yeah, but you can also build on it. I would think that if you and your husband were brothers in a past lifetime, that there is probably a sense of loyalty there that is profound, also of competition from time to time, and a little bit of one-upmanship here and there.
And we're both Libra, so we both have to balance it our way.
Yeah. So that would you know, totally explain that whole scenario. Now, having that knowledge makes you better able to deal with the circumstances.
Yes. Yeah.
So you know, where someone might be inclined to argue, now you know that you just let him think he wins. You just let him think he wins, and know that you do, and then you're fine.
Exactly. And that's one of the tricks that I've learned. That's it. Yes. What does Chris say? Alan was a slave owner in the past life and he owned me.
Yeah.
Golly, Chris. You should be so lucky.
Well, at least this life, you know, she's run unions and stuff, so she's definitely out of being owned by anyone. But no, I think we all of us have met people that we have to have known in a past life. That's the only explanation for the trust and the familiarity. And sometimes we're attracted to people who have wronged us, and this lifetime, part of the challenge is not to let it happen again. So,
yes. Yeah,
there are. And it's a lesson, and it's, you know, so long as they don't take you out, I mean, kill you. You're okay. You know, I'm not going to let this happen again. I'm not going to allow you to treat me that way again. And sometimes
exactly.
We do have to come back to understand that we can't give away our personal power. That we have to reclaim it if we've given it away, and we don't have to let someone take it from us again. And I think a lot of people, and this is just my opinion again. Got to keep saying that. It's my opinion, it's my opinion, it's my opinion. Only because I don't want you to think that I am giving you an absolute, because I'm not. Everybody will have a different take on it, and that's right, that's appropriate, that's what you should have. But I forgot where I was going.
Because you lost your opinion, didn't you?
I lost my
opinion.
No, it's amazing, because In my opinion, we do come across people that have mistreated us and misused us, and people that have treasured us and loved us. And it's a matter of discernment. Are we going to be able to tell the difference between someone who has in a past life done something wrong and has the possibility of this time, or you know, it's a learning situation. We are here to learn. Every moment of every day, there is a lesson out there for us. And if we reach for it, if we take it, if we use it, if we learn from it, then you know, kudos to us. And if we fall, go ahead.
Sorry, go on. It's almost like an opportunity to rewrite the page. Perhaps you didn't do it right, or to your satisfaction the time before, so you're given an opportunity to rewrite the story.
Absolutely. And I know lots of times, let me see, the best way to put it for me is my second husband was an alcoholic, and I had trouble dealing with him, and we ended up getting divorced. The next relationship I had, I thought, you know, the man was really cool and very intelligent and just, you know, a super person. but he drank a little bit too much. And after a number of years, I realized he was an alcoholic as well. And I remember saying after my divorce with my second husband, you know, maybe I wasn't old enough. Maybe I didn't deal with this appropriately. I wish I had had a chance to, with greater knowledge, wisdom, and you know, maturity, you know, take care of this situation. And damned if they didn't give me another alcoholic to deal with.
Oh, no.
And there it was.
Be careful what you wish for. Yes,
it was
be careful
sort of like,
what you
oh,
wish for.
Okay. I did better that time. I finally said, you know, you're an alcoholic. I'm not going down that road with you. I'm really sorry, but I won't do that. And so the next relationship that I came into was Patrick. And Patrick, you know, well, he had been an alcoholic for 30 years, but he had been in recovery for 15, and he did not touch a drink. He, even when he was told he was going to die, he did not touch a drink. And so it was kind of like, okay, so I have learned to deal with that pattern, and apparently I did it okay, because the last one I was with was, you know, a recovering alcoholic, so an alcoholic.
Doesn't that make you wonder what was the lesson that you needed to learn?
That's a very good question, and it's certainly one that I have wrestled with. But I have learned that you can't cure them. You can't make them want to not drink. You have to either, if you choose to be with them, you have to make sure you're not an enabler, and there's no way that you can make them be what you'd like them to be. I've learned all of that. So, you know, I did learn a lot from it.
And it's rather like your need to counsel, to nurture, to assist. It's not just their need or their lack of ability to see their way through whatever. It's the need in you to nurture, to be the counselor.
Well,
makes you
yes,
wonder.
It also, though, makes you more discerning and realize that not everyone wants to be helped.
Exactly, yes.
And that's a lesson that I think every counselor has to learn and continue to be reminded of, that well, you know, I may have a lot of answers for you, and I may be able to give you a lot of philosophy and a lot of suggestions. If you don't want to be helped, and if you don't want to take control of your own life, and if you don't want to take the steps, I can't push you into it. I can talk myself blue in the face, and I can tell you that something absolutely will work for you. But if you don't believe it, and if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. So
exactly, it takes you back to perhaps they themselves are in that time where this is the way they want to learn their lessons, you know, from the
yeah.
state that they're in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes with the empathy that we have for others, we can trip over our own feet because they don't want what we think they need.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other part of it is that you know, while we may have a little bit of a God complex because we are gods, not everyone
yes.
wants to worship at our feet. So.
Bugger it. Oh, bugger.
Go figure,
oh,
you know.
I've been sending out that message to my husband, you know, and I wondered why he wouldn't get down on his knees.
Yeah, but it's true. Sometimes they are meant to go through this lifetime that way. And as someone who wants to be, you know, a healer, a nurturer, a counselor, a helper, not everybody wants it, and it's not appropriate for everybody, and you have to honor their choices. And it's
Absolutely.
Hard to, it's really hard to discern, you know, where that line is. And
yeah. And you know, learn that in different ways, different. I have a sister who is a T3 paraplegic through a car accident. And many years ago, well, actually for about 10 years, she had no pain at all, and because she's paralyzed up to the armpits. And then after that, she got into excruciating pain. And I would offer suggestions like, you know, perhaps you can try this sort of treatment or that sort of treatment that I'd read about or heard about. And it's almost like that that bell is ringing now to say, did I have that God complex coming over because she cut me off and refused to speak to me again because she felt that I was counselling her. I didn't think that I was, but listening now to you speaking and being a part of the conversation, I'm thinking, was I? Is that what I did, you know? So, yeah, sometimes you do these things without realizing, and it's, you know, the penny clicks many, many years down the track.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. No, I have worked with lots of times people come for readings over and over and over again, and somebody came, I think, a week ago, and afterwards she said, well, I'm really disappointed, and I said, so am I. And she said, well, why are you disappointed? I said, because you were here 6 months ago, and we talked about all of the same stuff. I gave you, you know, suggestions, and you know, and I asked, I said, I've asked you, what have you done? And the reality is nothing. And so I'm disappointed because you didn't do anything I suggested, but maybe you're not meant to. But, And you know, with the woman, this particular woman, I didn't take her money. I said, you know, you haven't done anything. There's just no way that it makes sense. Just, you know, listen to the disc I sent you, because that's what's appropriate. You haven't done anything. And it doesn't mean you have to do what I suggest, but don't come and ask me the same questions over and over again if you're not willing to take responsibility for your own life.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and then we have to realize that they're not ready. They're not ready to take that advice on board. They need to learn a lesson another way.
Oh, yeah, and the reality, too, is, and I have to learn this, that it has to be their idea. If it's not their idea,
yeah,
they're not going to do it.
Exactly. And you'll often find that their idea was the idea that you gave them the month before, that they've then claimed as their own. But that's okay, so long as it works.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a lot to be learned for all of us that are involved in this field, and that's, you know, how to plant a seed and back off.
Exactly. Allow them to think that the thought was theirs, and give them that power of, you know, I've just thought of something fabulous, and then maybe they'll allow it to run and work well for them.
Mm-hmm. Or what would happen if you did this? Oh, that's a good idea. But the reality here is that our lessons and our challenges are things that we need to solve, not solve them for other people. And that's a hard thing. You want to walk in there and roll your sleeves up and fix somebody's life, and the reality is that every time I get to that point in time, I try to catch it before I do it and say, okay, so your own life must need addressing, so why don't you just get on with taking care of the things you need to do for yourself and leave this poor person alone.
Exactly. But it's a lesson that we keep learning, isn't it? You know, how far do you go? How much advice do you offer before you realize, whoops, you know, they've not asked for it. So, but then when they do ask for it and you give them the advice, and I've given the advice perhaps, you know, the third time, I will then say, well, you know, maybe you need to find another way of looking at it, because you know that they're not listening.
Well, I have found that even though I have a magnificently brilliant answer to give them, I try to always say, and this is in my personal experience, not when, you know, somebody comes for a reading, but if it's family or friends, I usually just say, you know, I know that you will do the absolute smartest thing, best thing you can possibly do. I know you'll figure out the answer, and you know, I will certainly back whatever choice you make, no matter how stupid it is.
And that's lovely, because then it gives them the power of ownership and the power to explore what they think may work. And if it doesn't work, then hopefully it gives them the power to realize there's always more than one way of killing a situation.
Oh, sure. And I've often said, my gosh, I never would have thought of that. It looks really interesting. I'll hold your coat.
Exactly. And it's really lovely, because all of the ways, as you say, are not wrong. They're all correct. And they're all different ways of learning. And we learn from what we may have thought was a stupid idea that they're going to venture out into. But, yeah, it's another idea, another concept.
Oh, gosh, yeah. But it's sort of, you know, we really need to honor everybody else's journey. And there are people that philosophically don't agree with anything I have to say. And I, you know, usually just say, well, you know, that's your opinion. And you have every right in the world to have that opinion. I just don't happen to have the same opinion. And,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, you know, you have to back off. Bree put something in the chat room that is, you know, I think we should address. She says, the only people that get me are the ones who say it's my fault, I'm still not walking. To be perfectly honest, you know, when people take that approach to someone who has a challenge, I used to tell my special ed kids that they were very, very lucky because they all knew where their disability was and that everyone had disabilities. And you know, to know where your disability is means that you can deal with it so much better. And those people who try to judge you or you know, make statements about your position in life are the ones that haven't realized that they have a disability too, and it's going to screw them when they're at least expecting it. So,
absolutely.
And you know, frankly, I think Bree is doing more with her life than so many people I know that, you know, have all of their functions functioning. And she's touching more people. She's creating more beauty. She's sharing her energy. She has more people that love her than she can possibly count on. And you know, she has an amazing life. And, you know, forget the fact that she can't walk. I mean, seriously, she rolls, and that's a lot easier.
That's it. Rolling along.
My mother had to have a wheelchair at a couple of points of time in her life, and she kept saying to me, oh, no, I don't want to use the wheelchair. I said, no, don't be silly. We're going to milk this for all it's worth. And, you know, she just looked at me, and I said, don't you understand? I can push you to the front of every line there is. I can get you through a crowd faster than I could drag you through a crowd if I can just push you. And everybody will
do that well, yeah.
The seas will part for us. We'll get to the front of every line. We'll get into the movies easier. Come on, give it. Let us milk this while we got it. And she finally did understand the purpose behind it all. But it's an amazing world that we've got here. And you know something? I mean, some of the Jesus walked into it was a Roman soldier who came into a town after Jesus had been through. And everybody was glowing and wonderful because Jesus had healed everybody. And you know, he talked to all sorts of people and you know, said that they were healed from this and they were healed from that. And there was a woman in the center of the town who was a cripple. And he said, oh, didn't you get to see, you know, the master, the teacher? And she said, oh, no, of course I did. And he said, but you're not healed. And she looked at him and she said, I certainly am healed. He said, but you can't walk. She said, yeah, but that's just my legs. My soul is healed.
And that's a beautiful attitude. Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely attitude. Yeah.
I mean,
it just takes you back to all of the words that you've been told forever to say, you know, value what you have. We all have different things that we're good at, you know. Like my sister who is in a wheelchair, she has a brilliant mind and she's very creative with her art, with her hands. So, yes, you know, we all have a lot to be thankful for in different ways.
Well, there are some amazing artists that paint with their mouth and some that paint with their toes and some that paint with, you know, I mean, there are people out there that are so creative. And so it's, you know, it's how you use what you've got, not how you are challenged by what you don't have. It's how you use what you've got. And so many people get so caught up in, you know, well, I can't do this anymore, so my life is over. No, it's not. And you know, I have Achilles tendonitis in both my heels, so I have trouble walking. But that doesn't stop me from getting on the computer as often as I can and talking to the world. And, you know, somebody once said to me, oh, I'm so sad for you, you're so restricted. And I just looked at her and I said, you have to be a flaming lunatic.
And exactly, yeah.
And she looked at me and I said, every night I talk to people all over the world. What do you do? And, you know, they just looked at me and I said, I have a rich, full life and I couldn't be more thrilled with it. And if I had not gotten the Achilles tendonitis from wearing high heels, you know, for 25 years.
Yes. They look beautiful, don't they, Barbara? Yes.
Oh, yeah, right. So if I hadn't done that to myself, I would probably be going out of my mind in retirement I've been in retirement for the last 30 years, and I would probably be going out of my mind trying to find something to do with my life.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's been handed to me on a silver platter because it was sort of like, this looks like fun, let me try this. And yeah. not oh, woe is me, you know. So I'm going to, you know, go out in the garden and eat worms. Not quite.
Oh, they're lovely, so long as you clean the dirt off them.
No.
You have,
no.
Yeah, wash them first. Chris, she eats worms.
Does she really?
She does. She loves worms. I better let you talk with Spirit. She's put up the ninja.
Oh, well, she didn't call in yet.
Oh, hasn't she? Oh, she's got the ninja up, and the Illumination's got the ninja up.
You know, okay, you guys, you got the ninjas up, but I don't see, I think they're just playing with their graphics.
They're just ninja-ing.
If you want to see it, if you know, yeah, they're fooling with each other. Yes, they know the rules. If you're going to call in and you're going to talk, you're supposed to put the ninja up. I don't see anybody else here in the queue, though. So, aside from Deb, and I will pull her in eventually. But no, I think that reincarnation is something that people don't understand. It's kind of like all aspects of spirituality here that we've been touching on lightly. It goes so much deeper than everybody realizes, and there's so much to it, and it can change your perception of your life totally, and it gives you a greater understanding of the fact that, okay, so this lifetime I'm working on certain aspects of life, and I don't really know what the heck I'm working on. I just know I have to be working on it because I keep getting challenges, and I'm
exactly.
still here. So...
It's funny. You know, I had two religious ladies at the gate a couple of months ago, and they said they do not believe in reincarnation. We're born again. And I said, well, isn't one like the other? Oh, no, we get born again. And I thought, well, I'm hard put to know what the difference is. And they wanted to come back and talk to me about the difference, but I thought, no, I'd rather research it another way.
Well, let me give you Patrick's definition of it.
Okay.
He said that in the Bible, Jesus, you know, he said, born again in me. And one of the disciples, you know, said to him, you know, how do we do that? We can't climb back into our mothers and get born again. And the explanation from Jesus was that you are born again in spirit when you die. You let go the physical reality and you are born into spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you get born again into a higher spiritual reality. It's not. I don't want to criticize, you know, the born agains because they so firmly believe in everything they believe in, and
they weren't born agains. They were 6-day bike riders,
okay.
7-day Adventists. Sorry, yes,
right, yeah.
Yeah,
no,
and you know,
lovely
ladies, but we agreed that we have different opinions. And I thought, okay, what is the difference between their term of being born again and reincarnation? Is there a great difference?
Well, yeah, because born again in according to the Bible is when you pass away and you're born into another reality, another dimension, another side. And then, of course, reincarnation is when you come back again and get to it all over again. Annie did call in. Hold on a second. Let me pull her in, too. Okay. Annie, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well.
Oh, that's good. Such an interesting conversation.
It is. I love reincarnation. It's just
Yeah, me too.
It absolutely frustrates many and confuses even more. So, it kind of is. So what's your take on it? What do you feel about reincarnation?
Well, I kind of feel like it's a little bit of both, you know, because I've kind of experienced both sides. I think that that we've come back as, you know, other people. You know, we've lived, we've been the grandmother, we've been the father, the mother, the, you know, one of our pod people, as Chris was saying before, she wants to come back from a different group, which is really funny. I want a different group. I want to come back from a different ship. But I think that we do. We have like our segregated group or whatever. And I think that, you know, you're not limited to race, creed, or color. I think it's or sex. I think it's a kind of a grab bag, and I think you find yourself throughout this whole big planet, and you run into each other. And I think that's why, you know, when you come across that person, there is that instant connection. That part of you that goes, I know you from somewhere. Like there's a piece of you that like instantly connects with that person, or the meeting of the eyes, or even if you brush your hands together, or, you know, there's just that light bulb that goes off, that inner knowing, that some sense that is beyond the normal sense of our senses goes off, like a ding, 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 and to know your pod person or whatever. And part of your reincarnation, I think.
Yeah, I think there also is some genetic memory here going on too.
Absolutely.
I think there's a combination of the both. And genetic memory doesn't always have to be present, and nor, in other words, you don't always have to remember your past life people, but sometimes you're recalling genetic memory that was in your family as well. Mm-hmm. So there's, I don't think people give full credit to what is carried within. I don't think that they want to accept, embrace, or understand the fact that we carry within us not only the memory of all past lifetimes, but, you know, we have the genetic memory, what do they used to call it when the tribes had a, before writing came, before they invented writing, there was a group consciousness, and they shared their history, and it was a verbal history that everybody understood and everybody tuned into. And then as society expanded and stuff, we got away from that group consciousness. But there is still a group consciousness today if you take the time to find it.
I would have to say, yeah, I would agree with that. But on a larger scale, I mean, that would go back to we are all one.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, we are. I mean, we're all part of the same one. So we are all one family.
Right. But breaking it down into the littler layers, to be reincarnated would be just kind of like chips off that block. And then to have cell memories would be like bigger chips off that block.
Well, let me ask you something. How would you explain multiple personalities within one person?
Well, I've actually experienced that in a few different people. You know, sometimes it is an illness, and sometimes it is a walk-in, someone who is inhabiting a person who is not completely there, and then another person who wants to be completely there.
I've only had experience a couple of times, and it was when I was doing readings, and one person, I would start reading one person, and then another personality would chime in, and then I'd start all over again, and I finally, you know, made them promise to each book a different reading next time because it wasn't fair.
Well, you know, it's also too, the mind is an amazing, amazing thing. And, you know, being the analytical person that I am, trying to understand everything from a scientific point of view, and then trying to break off and understand it from a purely spiritual point of view, is very difficult. You know, it's kind of like I want to break off into different personalities myself. But, you know, from a scientific point of view, you really want to be able to have someone in there and break apart your personalities and go into the mind and dissect this person.
Yeah,
but the
I'm saying? I kind of wonder if it's one soul manifesting in you know, bringing different lifetimes forward and different personalities from different lifetimes, or if it's many souls in the same body.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
I have often thought about this, especially when in my past I had some clients that were actually diagnosed as multiple personalities. But I also would listen to what the personalities would say, because I work nights. So when they'd come out, that was when, you know, more likely they would come out. And I would hear one completely giving advice and almost like the mentor to the other, and saying, if you would get this example and understand it, then I could go away and leave you alone. And then there's the other part of, it's a little different though, is like when very tiny children, they seem to only ebb and flow a bit. And it's sort of like the personality or the soul hasn't decided if it's staying or not.
Hmm. When I worked with a lot of damaged children, and my experience with people who have multiple personalities, depending on what those multiple personalities were and what was coming forward, I would be better able to answer the questions. If I was dealing with one of the children and giving you from my life experience, 99.9% of the personalities that I've dealt with are from abuse, and it was a way of protection. This mm-hmm. was the way of the mind protecting itself against not past lives, not souls occupying, not anything like that. It was the way the mind protected itself.
Yeah.
Period.
Especially with children. Yeah, I would have to agree with that would make sense to me as well. Somebody asked in the chat room, since you and I do past life readings, have we ever encountered a person that didn't have past lives? Some people are old, but maybe some are new. I don't think I ever have. I have. Sometimes they spend more time on the other side, or more time on this on the earth plane goes past before they reincarnate. I've met people, and had done past lives with them, where they come back maybe every 2,000 or 3,000 years, as opposed to 100 or whatever. So you've had more experience than I have with that. So what was that
I've
like?
I've had once, and this was when I tried to read this one young lady, all I saw was light.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried and tried, and I thought that she was blocking me, you know, because there are people who will try to I'm here, I'm fully open, I want you to read me. But
yeah,
they
right.
really don't.
Yeah.
And but she was beautiful soul, beautiful energy, you know, and I know she really, really meant it.
Uh-huh.
But you could just, she had those big, giant, I call them, you ever see the big goldfish that have those big bubble eyes?
Yes.
That's what her eyes look like. And she was just very, I'm not going to say odd looking, she was very unique looking. Like, in my wildest imagination, I couldn't even put her anywhere.
Uh-huh.
In my imagination of where her past life could possibly be. And so I tried to enter, and I do what I normally do. I scan the body. And beautiful soul, beautiful energy, 23-year-old young lady. Very flower power child.
Uh-huh.
Flora. And just going deeper and deeper into her, you know, as I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I go further and further back, all I see is light. The further I go, the lighter it gets. You know what? Most people gets dark, like I'm going through a tunnel. With her, it got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, like I was heading to the sun. And I was like, okay, are we ever going to get there? And it just was very, very bright. And that was it.
Did she have any cognizance of the fact that she'd never been here before?
No, none. Mm-mm.
Wow.
She
yeah,
just kept
cool.
saying, she just kept saying, you're very warm. And you're blinding me.
So
we're even.
Really. So, I mean, I've never run across yet a new spirit, you know, one that has never been here before.
Mm-hmm.
So did you find that there was high vibrational energy there, obviously? Or you know, was there a feeling of a spiritual purpose, or was she just normal?
She was like a blank page, but she was like lightning. You know how lightning just kind of whips across the sky? There's no form or fashion. There's no, it just comes. You
mm-hmm.
don't know where it's going to strike. It just happens. That's how her energy was.
Now, in my opinion, it's just my opinion, but in my opinion, you know, all the souls were created at the same time. So if this one did not reincarnate reincarnate on this plane, on this planet, could she possibly have been on another planet in another form?
Well, I keep feeling like she was on the sun.
Okay.
But not not like as a being, just mm-hmm. on the sun.
Very cool. Did you get a chance to follow her, or was it just a one-shot deal?
Yeah, it was just it. And it was just bright. That was it. That's all I saw was light.
That's very cool. You know, you kind of would like to have followed her and just seen, you know, what she did with her life and where she went with, you know. Obviously, you know, she had, you know, a good consciousness and stuff like that. And I'm sure there was a great deal of spiritual energy there. But you wonder what somebody like that is going to do with their life.
Yeah, I would have liked to have kept in contact with her. And who knows? Maybe someday I would, you know, hook up with her again. But I feel like she has fish energy. I don't know why, but she just reminded me of a fish, you know, with her big eyes. And she had like these flipper feet, you know. She was just very, very long.
Could that be that she had another form on another galaxy, another plane, another planet, another dimension, and that was her?
Could very well be. All I saw was light.
What if, now I know there are books out there that have gone into this, but I'm not sure I buy what they said. But what if you were to do a past life on Jesus? I mean, everybody, you know, I know everybody said, you know, he was Melchizedek and he was, you know, that he was so many characters throughout history. But, when books are written like that, I tend to not buy it. It's a great story, but I'm just not sure I buy it. And you have all of these wonderful, you know, characters that have come through history that were like Gandhi or mm-hmm. Mother Teresa. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be cool if Mother Teresa in a past life was, you know, ran a brothel or something? I mean,
you know, I could see Mother Teresa being Gandhi. That's the type of energy that she had.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
She had that amazing energy. She had that amazing energy. Thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah, I just, you know, because we've been a little of everything over time, it would seem to me that people that come through and that are as amazing as Mother Teresa or Gandhi or, gosh, I'm searching for somebody else that had the same kind of a life of, you know, teaching. The Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Buddha, it was cool. I was looking for a phrase that I was pretty sure he
all I could think of is Buddha loves you. You know, my kid used to always hit me in the forehead and go, Buddha loves you. I used to always get really mad.
No, the quote I was looking for was, when the students are ready, the teacher appears.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that the second part of that, when the teacher is ready, the student appears. Buddha didn't say the second one. He only said the first one. Which surprised me. I kind of thought it was, you know, it was the natural flow, you know. Teacher is ready, the student appears. Student is ready, the teacher appears. It just made sense to me. But Buddha didn't say the second part. So, you know, when you go back to these entities that have come into our reality, I mean, you kind of wonder. You look at them and Buddha did exist. I mean, there's enough writings and everything that you know, I'll buy the fact that, yeah, Buddha was there. Buddha did exist. And you know, his life was so much of a spiritual journey constantly. And I don't think that he expected people to create a religion. He's very much like Jesus. I don't think he expected that there would be a religion that would be formed on his teachings. He was just teaching peace, love, mm-hmm. and all of that.
And, yeah, he was just living his life.
Yeah. But he was amazing, and he did so many phenomenal things. I mean, he came up on a river once and, you know, had to get across, and it was too rough for the boats, and he just suddenly was on the other side. And, you know, when you do things like that, you know, it's a miracle. And mm-hmm. And yet he wasn't persecuted the way that Jesus was. And I'm wondering, time frame wise, did he come before Jesus? I don't have a timeline here. I should have one. Hinduism was 800 years before Christ, and Buddhism, I believe, is older. Of course, I read my material through a couple times here, and I did put it together, but I don't remember. Anybody out there read this enough so that they know when Buddhism was? Hey, Deb. When was Buddhism? Buddhism, okay.
Christianity goes back to early 1st century, and Buddhism was early 16th century.
So Buddhism was
more direct content. That doesn't sound right, though.
No, it doesn't.
It's just the content. Who was first, Buddha or Christ? Here, let's find this one.
Yeah, Google it.
I did. Well,
let's go to the real wisdom.
The
four
dozen
different ways.
Oh, and
it says if it's believed that Jesus is born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, was reckoned to have been born between 563 and 483 years before Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, you know, and I do believe that, you know, he wasn't persecuted the way that Jesus was, but he wasn't, the time was very, very different. You know, Rome was doing different things. Moonshadow asked, she said, Barb, do you believe in the concept of old souls since you said all souls were created at the same time? I do believe we're all old souls. Some of us have reincarnated more times than others, but we're all old. I mean, my goodness, we've been around for, you know, a heck of a long
time.
So
what you're saying is some of us have just got higher mileage.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Some of us learn faster than others.
We're all the same age soul-wise, but we're not the same...
experientially.
Okay, that's
well,
your belief system?
Because if some of them were just quicker to learn or even chose to do less and be teachers, you know, or nurturers of other, you know what I'm saying, you know, how
well,
healing or teaching or sorting, I don't know, maybe somebody just went and did the laundry and was happy folding.
Well,
I don't know.
Happy folding. I like folding.
Well, and also, you know, this is not the first... The earth plane is not the first stop in evolution, I don't believe.
Absolutely.
There are other planets, other dimensions that we have grown through to get to this particular point in time. So, I mean, if you're going back to the time of creation, I don't know how many billions of years ago that was. I mean, I said, the Christians believe it was about 6,000 years ago, but frankly, if you just are looking at this planet, it was billions of years ago, but I believe our spirits, our souls have been around for very much longer than that, so that there have been other dimensions that we have grown through. And so...
Well, I want to add something, too, that the...
Sure.
The light that I saw for this girl was not our sun.
Okay.
So if that is any indication.
Could have been another galaxy. Could have been,
yeah,
you know.
I really think it is from another time because it was different. Like I know our sun.
When you were talking, though, I kept getting the big black eyes, like they were trying to take the light in, and I kept feeling very moist and cold. And it made me wonder if they just didn't come from this person essentially come from farther out in the galaxy where it's colder and damper.
Or even this galaxy. Doesn't have to be this galaxy. There are tons mm-hmm. of them. Or dimensions.
Well, right. There are others, but even if it was from this galaxy, we're not even totally positive how far this one actually goes.
That's true.
That's true. Or how young or how old this one is.
Yeah. And, billions or millions or trillions or quadrillions or whatever they are. I mean, the more we are able to see out there, the older everything begins, like the concepts of star seeds, the Pleiadians. Yeah, I mean, Lizzie Starr is dealing with the Pleiadians at all times, and that is, of course, another dimension, another aspect. So our souls are timeless, and they've had, billions, trillions, millions, I don't know, but thank God we don't have total recall or we would be crazy. So
I think a lot of that's why not everybody remembers so much of past lives and everything, because if you had to remember it, you'd most likely would still feel it. And I don't think our containers here could do that.
Well, not only that, Deb, but if indeed that is the case, and I do believe it is, that as an etheric energy, we have taken on many different physical forms in order to manifest a reality and experience it. I mean, do you want to remember the time you were green jelly someplace?
Well,
I don't remember how many times
I was. hung or sliced and diced or drowned or whatever, because
No, but that would be, I'm sure that there have been forms that my spirit has taken that would be slightly repulsive to me. And yet it was the form that was indigenous to whatever plane I was on or whatever reality I was experiencing. And it was just, I was just one of the guys. But this form, this lifetime, could be repulsive to me for whatever I choose for next lifetime. So it's kind of... it's an interesting concept. Wouldn't it be really cool to really be able to sit and try to pull forward out of consciousness some of the forms that we've had in past lifetimes?
Mm.
And whether they're humanoid or whether they're whatever, it would be fascinating to just pull from consciousness what we have been before in form, and what other realities that we have. I mean, that's a wonderful challenge for someone who has artistic talent to sort of say, what do you have? Where were you before? And non-humanoid, don't go for humanoid because that's too easy, but put into your mental computer non-humanoid form, what have I been before? And see what comes forward.
When I have first started on this journey many, many, many moons ago, I had a dream. I believe I shared this a while back, but I dreamt that I had went to some type of council, and it was like in this... like a college auditorium, like a college classroom, where the professor's at the bottom of the stairs and the school board is, at the bottom, and the students are all sitting kind of up top.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I walked in, I looked around and there were two of everything. And then when I say two of everything, two of every species that you could possibly think of or imagine, which kind of freaked me out, because when I first started on this, I look at people and I see them for what they really are. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like bothered me. It doesn't bother me anymore. But I saw them like in animal forms. So like if someone looked like a turtle, that's what I would see them as. Mm-hmm. Or if they look like a fish, that's what I would see them as. So I, in this school or council type setting, that's what I was seeing, all these different groups of people or, you know, beings. And it was just weird. It was just very, very weird. And everyone just turned and looked at me. And I was totally freaked out by it. So it was kind of crazy. So I don't think that you're far from it at all.
I know that I have very often seen my energy as an orb, an iridescent orb. And you know, it makes me kind of reconsider when I see orbs in the garden or orbs, you know, in pictures, wondering if that is a soul that is, you know, kind of sightseeing, or if we are their reality TV, you know, and they are amused at watching us trying to evolve. But well, I have seen myself as an iridescent orb, and I don't know how big it was, because I didn't have any frame of reference. I just saw this iridescent orb floating, and it said, "I'm you." So, or you are me.
Maybe remember the Wizard of Oz?
Yep.
And when Glenda the Good Witch came in, she came in an orb.
Oh, in a bubble, she did, yes.
And she just kind of plopped, and she was there.
I do remember that, yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I want a wand. I want a wand.
Yeah, ever since I was a small child, I always had a wand. That's like one of my favorite things. Poof, uh-huh. You're there.
Yeah, poof, no, I jokingly say to people, my wand is in the shop. no, I can't wave anything and make anything happen for you. Yeah, I could probably get in trouble with a wand, you're right. But, boy, it would be fun to play with. I do believe that you know, our concept of fairies and things like that, I do believe that there was a time in our evolution in creation when people like entities like that were possible. I do believe in them, and they just may not want to be. They may not exist still, or they may choose not to be seen. I'm not sure which it is, because when I see orbs in my garden in my pictures, I can look in them and I can see faces. So I know.
Oh yeah.
I know there are people in there. I just don't know if it's spirits or if it's entities of elementals and stuff like that.
Well, I think the mind, I think we have allowed ourselves to move past that, to say that we don't have time. We have slowed down time.
Well, don't you
so
think
we
that,
don't
that
see that?
I know we're in a physical reality, but some people are denser than others.
That's what I mean.
And
exactly.
And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean that they're they're fat.
That's funny to say.
I don't mean that they're fat.
Right.
I mean that energetically there is not a lightness of spirit. And you got to understand, when we cross over, our spirit drops, you know, becomes less and less and less and less dense.
Right.
Some people are going to take a really long time. on the other side to get rid of that
they
density.
They give far-headed a new meaning.
Uh-huh.
When we say we feel lightheaded, it's truly because we're going into spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They you know, when you I do believe that I do believe I see them every now and then. I do believe I catch them out of the corner of my eye. And that's something that maybe, I don't know, what do you think, that it would be fun to go into in one of these, is to talk about the elementals.
Oh, you know, me and the elementals, I could talk about them forever.
Maybe that's what we'll talk about next week. I'll put out material on elementals, and we'll try to make people more and more aware of them, because they're out there, and they are part of our realities, and you can talk to them. And I mean, I put up pictures of my garden on Facebook today, and you know, I'm out there saying, you know, I hope you guys are working, because I'm sure not, and because it's too muggy. I can't get out there and do the weeding and everything. So I took some pictures of it because it looks pretty if you don't look at the weeds. No, that's true. But the elementals are definitely there, and I mean the water elementals are, you know, just. They're absolutely wreaking havoc with me this year, especially the water elementals. I've had to replace the water pump in my well. I've had the plumber here. I can't tell you how many times about, you know, the plumbing in the house. I mean, my garden doesn't have to be watered because it's all perennial. So, it's wonderful. But the elementals are fabulous. I love working with them, and I'll put out, you know, we'll get real etheric next week, guys, and I'll put out elemental material and stuff like that. Now wait a minute. Somebody, when you talk about a gnome, just out of curiosity, when you talk about a gnome, are you talking, you know, a garden gnome or a real gnome, and what's the difference between a gnome and a troll?
Big difference.
Well, trolls are mean, yeah.
They can be. Not all trolls are mean.
But some trolls are just like
hermits.
Okay, so but that's, you know, now we're into the fairy realm. I mean, I think I want to hold it to the elementals, the air, earth, fire, and water, and maybe the etheric elementals too.
Okay.
So we'll do elementals, because if we get into the fairies, then we've totally lost the direction of the circle.
Yeah. Maybe we should make another show for the fairies.
Yeah, we'll do another show for fairies. But I think that there's a great deal to be said about the elementals, and they are a part of our reality, and they are... You know, and again, this show has, this circle has nothing, not talking religion here at all, talking about the energy available to us, and the elementals are energies that are available to us to work with.
Right.
So,
because, I mean, if we're bringing the elementals into it, then you're also going to talk about the religions or the ones that surround or bring about, like the pagans. Right?
Yeah.
And
I'll do that type of things too. That's more nature stuff, though. That's
mm-hmm.
not, you know, I don't really call paganism a religion as much as I call it an affinity with nature. It's not
right,
so,
but those bring in the elementals that ties into the elemental kingdom and the druids and stuff like that, who also kind of bring about the earth stuff.
Okay, so next week we're elementally working. We should have some lightness of spirit here too.
There you go.
Okay, I just saw the darn clock. We got like half a minute. Annie, thank you for talking and sharing, and you know, I look forward to next week. So and for those of you that want to go further with this, tomorrow at 1 we'll be doing it again. So woohoo. Thanks for being here, everybody, and thank you for giving us a reason to discuss things that are so important, because it really means a lot to me. I grow from it, and hopefully some of you do too. Well, all of you do, hopefully. So I will see you next week, if not sooner. So have a good evening, everybody. Bye-bye now.